each other, isn't it?
Bolin and the operatives of Stony Man Farm must unravel the true secret behind a separatist plot on Okinawa.
Think of it. Okinawan citizens are attacked and killed by U.S. soldiers with guns in the night. It would be a priceless opportunity. It would be a political blow the Americans would almost never recover from.
These guys that attacked us weren't Okinawans. They were Korean Special Forces commanding the native separatists.
What are Korean Special Forces doing on Okinawa?
That's a damn good question.
Okinawa is certainly a chess piece they'd like to see the U.S. lose.
That's why they're trying to destabilize Okinawa. If we were forced out, it would cost the United States and Japan billions to build new bases elsewhere.
They have a neutron bomb, and they're gonna light it off in Okinawa and blame it on us. They're gonna kill half the citizens and most of the U.S. soldiers stationed on it. In one shot, the United States is gonna lose its military influence west of Hawaii.
This isn't about Okinawan independence, it's about genocide. It'll be the biggest frame-up of all time.
And the executioner must seek help from an unlikely ally.
Your country needs you, Sergeant.
I used to be a sergeant, goddammit.
You used to be a hell of a soldier until you started selling Stinger missiles to the Korean mob. You're a traitor, Burdick, but I'm giving you a chance to serve your country again and repair your tarnished career.
That's over, Stryker. You saw to that.
Mac Bolan number 85, Breakaway. 7 unabridged hours in graphic audio.
And now, our feature presentation.
Graphic audio. A movie in your mind.
Corn Blossom choked on the first sip of the potion, and her eyes filled with tears. Despite the harsh, bitter taste, she had to drink every drop. The 11-year-old brushed aside her tears and took another, bigger swallow from the shaman's feather-decorated gourd. From the ledge on which she stood, the far side of the canyon was a wall of black, topped by a starry sweep of sky. Trapped heat came off the distant rock in waves, pulsing through the breathless night. Her clan made its home in a broad hollow high in the canyon face, carved over millennia by wind-driven sand. Light from the communal fire pit flickered over their flat-sided mud-brick dwellings. Something crashed through the dry grass below and chaparral on the canyon floor. Something huge and powerful. Drawing strength from their fear, Corn Blossom's people began to chant and beat drums with sticks. This to drown out the terrifying noises. Like her, they had painfully bloated bellies, and their lips were cracked and bleeding. The rain had stopped 2 winters past, rain which the clan needed to grow squash, corn, and beans. As their stockpiles of food dwindled, Corn Blossom's people scavenged far and wide, but there was no game left in the canyon, and the fish had vanished along with the river. They were reduced to eating grass and insects. A world that had been lush and full of promise had become a wasteland of suffering and slow death. Dust storms divided the day, and at night, the blistering air spawned hungry demons. Neighboring settlements along the canyon's cliffs had already been abandoned. The people who left were never heard from again. No trace of them was ever found. To spend even one night on the canyon floor meant destruction. Under the light of the full moon, Corn Blossom's own father had disappeared like a curl of smoke. Before descending the ladder to face and fight the evil that was bedeviling them, he had given her a necklace, his most prized possession. As she drained the last of the shaman's potion, she tightly squeezed the small white shells between her fingers. In Corn Blossom's world, before the coming of Columbus, before Heisenberg, Einstein, and Rutherford, all events were connected, like the string of beads around her neck. In 1300 AD, coincidence didn't exist. Everything that happened had a cause. It was a logic born of ignorance,